Tell Somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm only going to be a short while here, unless the Lord says differently. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Recorded are these words: whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. I want to talk about the victory of overcoming faith. The victory of overcoming faith. I think if you grasp the meat of this message, it will change your life in ways you never could understand without this issue of faith. One of the things that I think is so important about this word that John speaks is that he helps the believer to understand that there are some things in place that must be in place in the believer's life in order for the believer to be successful, not only in the things of God, but things in the world. We are, as children of God, the lights of the world. We project light into dark situations. We are atmosphere changers. We, the believers, are different to make a difference. And I think when we begin to understand how John says in the third verse, what's important is for this understanding to be clear. For this is the love of God. Now, what does he say is the love of God? What follows? What's in your Bible? That we keep his commandments. Now, here's what it's literally saying. Listen, if we truly love God, we will obey or keep his word. You love him, you do what he says. Jesus, when he had risen from the grave and he saw Peter on the seashore, and he said, Peter, do you love me? What did he tell him to do? He said, feed my lambs first. That's still keeping my commandment, because he has his word from the Lord. Then he tells him, feed my sheep. All right. And he goes on, and notice it's again in the progressive order. He talks about lamb first time. He's talking about the babes, the newborn babes in Christ, those who desire the sincere milk of the word. Then he says, feed my sheep. He's talking about those who have grown but have not grown up. Yeah. Then he says, feed my sheep again. And then he's talking about to the mature, those who can eat meat. So he's literally saying the responsibility of your assignment is based on your love for me. You're preparing a meal for babes on the one hand, sucklings on the one hand, to seniors on the other hand, and everything in between. He's saying to do this, you've got to love me. And see, one of the things I think we'll know, and we may not always know things, and this is one of the reasons why God meets us where we are in our own experiences. You see, when you love God, or anyone for that matter, you tend to take difficult things on, you tend to challenge yourself at being there, being a blessing, being a help, being a support system. You do a whole lot of things when you love or are in love with someone that you wouldn't do otherwise. Can I get an amen? We don't need to pretend like love does not have power. Love's got great power. Some of you've never done some things till you fell in love. Some people don't understand that love has great, great power connected with it. And so one of the things that you will recognize is God is saying, John is saying here, that if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. That's one of the realities of the word. And so here's what you need to also understand, that you will do things, again, for folk you love that you won't do either when you don't love them or you stop loving them. Yeah. Now, ain't no sense in you acting like you ain't never been in love and then stop being in love. Unless you married the first person you ever loved and you loved them with the love of God. Other than that, you done been in love and been out of love and all the rest of that. And even the songwriter said, in the world, let me take you back, maybe you'll understand this better than Bible. What used to be right, after the love is gone, what used to be right is wrong. Y'all know that song? I don't know, I forget the artist who made it, but I know you. After the love is gone. Yeah, don't act like you don't know it. I'll sing it for you. All right. So here's what I need you to understand. John is establishing the fact that if you really love God, you'll keep his commandments. Now, here's what else is important about this. He says, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. They're not grievous. Listen at this. What he said, if you really love the Lord, everything it takes to do what he's called you to do, you will do it without it seeming as though it's some great burden, some great hardship, some great difficulty. It's because of the love that labor becomes a labor of love. And it's like the little picture illustration with the little boy carrying his brother that's big and heavy, and the caption reads, he's not heavy, he's my brother. You see, when you love somebody, no matter how hard and difficult it is, you don't think of it as that. You think of it as a responsibility and an opportunity to demonstrate your love to them. You don't see what other people see. Love covers a multitude of faults, a multitude of sins. All of this falls under love. That's why you got to be careful about domestic issues. You've seen people, we've heard of it. We've seen it on, you know, television movies, on all kind of crime movies, etc. Domestic call is made. The police come to the house. The woman all beat up, black and blue and everything else, mouth bleeding, all the rest of that. You know, the man then beat her up. Then the police come and talk about he's gonna take him away. Then she jumps on the police back. Ah, leave him alone. Don't take him. Need to pull out that Billy and You know what? Both of y'all need to go on out of jail because something ain't right about this. But what I'm trying to tell you is, even though they've got issues, they don't want nobody else to get in their issues. Now, you know what? There's some things that's love and some things that's just crazy, foolish, stupid. I can go and name some more adjectives, but you get, I know the only reason why you ain't saying nothing because you might be sitting next to somebody that you got them issues with, but I'm trying to tell you, it don't take all of that. But when you love somebody, you overlook many times faults, sins, shortcomings, and God has done all of that for us. Before we become too judgmental about anybody else's situation, think of the times we've disappointed God. Think of the times we've let him down. Think of the times we didn't live up to the standard of being a child of God. Think of the times we didn't witness or were worthy of that he himself did for us. And yet he loves us with an everlasting love. So here is the point here, that nothing he asks us to do should be too hard for us. No sacrifice we make should be too great for us if we love with the God kind of love. This love is the agape love. And when we love with that kind of love, it makes a difference in everything we do. Verse 4 goes on to say, whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now listen at this very quickly. It's literally saying to you, when you are born again, you are born included in your new existence, in your spiritual DNA, is the reality of overcoming power. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to pray for it. If you are born again, it's already inside you. It's already inside you. It's like that commercial with shingles. If you've had the measles, the virus is already in you. Y'all gonna get quiet on me now? I'm just speaking truth. If you are born again, the overcoming power, faith, is already in you. Romans 12:3, God has given every man a measure of faith. That's what his word declares. The faith you're looking for is already in you. It's about where you place that faith. It's about how you exercise that faith. It's about how you use that faith, but it's already in you. Listen at this. You need to know the fact that God gave you a measure of faith is greater than a seed of faith. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, the tiniest seed plant, the seed, listen, that's so tiny, it looks like a black speck in your hand, that grows into a full tree that birds can rest in. Now, don't get that confused with mustard green, because that's not mustard green. It's a mustard tree. Because when I was younger and didn't know better, I thought that was a mustard green seed. It's a mustard tree. Now, so I'm saying that it grows large, it has limbs, birds rest and nest in it, etc. It's much greater than mustard green, bigger than mustard green. from a seed that's the smallest of seeds. Now, listen at this again. God has given you a measure of faith, meaning that he has included in every man necessary in their own experiences enough to have all that God wants them to have, and it doesn't stop there, it just begins there. Their faith from that level grows, matures, extends itself, enlarges, but it starts with a measure. So you can't go to God and act like you don't have faith. The question comes back to you is not do I have faith, but where is my faith? Because it's already in you. So whatsoever, listen, is born of God overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. Now you're getting into a reality that helps us to see something. How are you born again? Well, Jesus made clear that you must be born again. But then he further explains that you cannot come to the Father except by me. So in order to be born again, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
That's right. That's right.
The faith of Jesus Christ, listen, came down and took on the human form of flesh and stood in our place and in our position, took a penalty and a punishment that was meant for us so that he could die. He could die in our stead and be the first resurrected of God and then pass on what he himself had to give, and that was life eternal to everyone. Now, because he overcame death, he overcame Satan, he overcame every evil and every evil potentate in the world, because that's a part of his DNA. When we were made like him, we also had included in us that same reality. So because we're born again, Jesus, our elder brother, has already led the way, and he's shown us how to be victorious. Everything Jesus encountered in the earth realm, he was victorious in. There was nothing that did not happen that Jesus didn't want to happen because of his faith. And that means to us, we have the power to change circumstances, situations, and conditions by the faith that God has given to us. Now listen at this. It says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory. First of all, what's interesting about the word victory and overcometh is that they both come from the same word. Victory comes from the word, you ready for this? Nike. N-I-K-E. But it's pronounced Nike. Nike. That's victory. Nike knew what it was doing when it named itself Victory. Y'all catch that on your way home. That's why I only caps I wear Nike. I don't wear all of the other stuff. I'm a victorious Christian. I advertise it even in my caps and stuff. Yeah, I don't golf, but if I golfed, I'd have Nike. I don't care what I'm doing, because see, I'm making clear I'm a victor in everything I do. When I dress down, I'm victorious. When I dress up, I'm victorious. I don't care what others say, that is my declaration and decree, because I was born with it
on the inside of me. And so does each and every believer have that same assurance. Now listen at this. Also, the word overcometh is the verb nikeia. Nikeia. Now, that means overcoming victory. Literally means that you were, get this, at the point in a boxing ring of being counted out. 7, 8, 9. But before they got to 10, you bounced up. The referee had to stop counting because you were no longer down. Or in wrestling, 1, 2, before you got to 3, you picked that shoulder up. He had to stop counting. Here's what it literally means. When you were almost counted out, you had an overcoming, overwhelming victory. In other words, when nobody betted on you to win, you were the underdog, you were not the favorite, you were the one that everybody said will come in last if you came in at all. And you wind up winning the race. That's overcoming victory. In every area of your life, you think about the times and the situations you've been in, issue after issue, situation after situation, argument after argument, thing after thing, and everybody counted you out, including yourself, and you lost. But if nobody believed in you but you, and you tapped in to your own faith and said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you tapped into your own faith and said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And you tapped into your own faith and says, his grace is sufficient for me. And you tapped into your own faith and you believe the word of God, then before the last count comes, God will show you that he can turn this situation around. When the enemy is acting like he's already won it, he's throwing his hands up in the air, he turns around and there you are. Bring it on. And then he goes down for the count. Yes, sir. That's right. And my brother, my sister, listen. It all happens, listen, because of faith. Even our faith. It reads a little strange. That's why you don't get it. Because it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What we, you know, that's biblical language. That ain't English language. So it doesn't really sound right to us. But here's literally what it said. If you are born of God, your faith brings you overcoming victory. That simple. Are there any believers in the house today? You ought to shout and tell somebody, you're looking at victory. You need to tell them, you're looking at victory. I don't care what I look like to you, you're looking at victory. I want to be the first to introduce myself. Hello, my name is Victory. I'm changing my name as of today. Every time you see me, listen, if me and a bear and a lion get in it, you better put your money on victory. Hey, if Goliath steps in the ring and I ain't but a little bitty thing, you need to put everything you got on me, because my name is Victory. Victory is mine. I
told Satan, get thee behind, cause victory, 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 victory.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.